The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, part one of a two-part documentary called Buried with Michael Sheen will air on BBC Two. It tells the story of the leaching of banned so-called forever chemicals, toxic cancer-causing PCBs or polychlorinated biphenyls, into the environment in Britain. This is that Welsh actor, Michael Sheen, now explaining how he got involved.
For many years now, there's been a story I just can't stop thinking about. And it's not a film script or a play. It's something much, much closer to home. It was about 10 years ago now. I had a lot of time on my hands. And I just found myself, you know, scrolling through a few things. And then stumbled across this story of a man who claimed that the people of Wales were being poisoned. And I thought, what? The man behind the claims was Douglas Gowan, a farming consultant who spent almost half a century investigating a potential chemical scandal in Wales.
I get a call from South Wales. A farmer there has some dead cattle and just wanted to know what on earth was going on.
The more I was reading about this story, the more concerned I was getting. But also I'm thinking, why is there not more about this? I keep coming up against sort of dead ends. This didn't make sense. So I managed to kind of make contact. And he said to me, if I wanted to find out the truth, I'd have to get to him quick because he had weeks to live.
There you go. Can you tell me what led to starting to find this out?
So I got a camera and interviewed Douglas Gowan for 2 days.
Is the beginning.
I sat in front of him and he told me the story of his life and of his battle to get the truth out there. And within a very short time afterwards, he was dead and I was left with it.
The actor Michael Sheen. Well, joining me now to tell us more is Lucy Taylor, an investigative environmental journalist, presenter of the Buried podcast on BBC, and executive producer of the TV documentary Buried with Michael Sheen. Lucy, you're very welcome to the programme.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
How did you come upon this story to begin with?
Well, we make a podcast of environmental investigations. And after the first series, somebody contacted us saying, my friend Douglas Gowan, you had an amazing story that you really should know about. And after various calls and more research, we ended up inheriting a box of Douglas's documents, diaries, all kinds of things, which date back to the late 1960s, which have led us on this huge journey into finding out more about this story. So Douglas was an environmental whistleblower. He stumbled across this in the late 60s after finding deformed cows on a farmer's land in South Wales. And he realised straight away that something was wrong, did his own chemical tests and realised that these PCB chemicals were leaching out onto the land there. And he felt that they would cause people harm. He spent his life campaigning and trying to get people to listen to this. And then he died in 2018. So later we inherited these documents. We realized, well, the first thing we have to do is go back to South Wales and do our own tests and work out if this is still a problem. Was he right?
Now, perhaps we should go back to the origins of this story, really, which is the presence of PCBs in the environment. You might remind us of what PCBs are and what kind of products they were found in.
Yeah, PCBs are called the godfather of forever chemicals. They're kind of the earliest incarnation of these chemicals that they don't actually last forever, but as good as, you know, they take a really long time to deteriorate. At the time that they were created in the 20th century, they were seen as a wonder chemical because they're fire resistant and they help us with all kinds of things that make us safer. You know, they were in furniture, they were in paper, they were in electronics, they were in all kinds of things. But the problem is, they were soon discovered to be very toxic, very dangerous to humans. And you only need a tiny amount, you only need exposure to a tiny amount of these chemicals to really increase your risk of harm in the future. So they were banned in the 80s globally. But because they're so persistent, they remain among us. They're in every inch of soil in our environments. They're in the blood of every one of us. It's a really horrifying thought, the way that these chemicals have persisted. And what we have been really looking at is where they were dumped in dumps, sometimes secret, sometimes illegal, across the UK, really. And in some cases, we don't really know where they are, how, what sort of quantities they're in, and whether they're leaching out. So we really wanted to find out, are they leaching out? And if so, are they continuing to cause us harm?
So in the 1960s, whenever they were banned, what was the instruction as to their disposal, given that they are almost forever chemicals? What was the official way of disposing of these chemicals?
Well, the year that we're talking about is before they were banned, when they were still in mass production across the US and particularly in Newport in South Wales. And one of the things that has come to light in this documentary, we found a document showing that actually even when they ended production in the United States, they carried on production in Wales. And beyond that, the site in North Wales was used to reclaim some of these PCBs from all over Europe. So there were massive amounts of these quantities being produced, but also then being dumped. And at the time, there weren't really regulations. I mean, it wasn't like it should be now, where things were really carefully monitored and they were just dumped in barrels in quarries across the country.
And so, did you discover whether or not they had been licensed to be dumped? You know, you go to the local council, disused quarry hasn't been used for years and years and years. We've got this stuff we want to get rid of. Can we dump it here? Or do they do it secretly?
It's a bit of both. In some cases, it was, or we believe it was secret. It was done the night and things like that. People nearby have told us that they've seen people dumping things in the nighttime. But it was a time before the regulation of today, so it wasn't quite the same as now. But then the question for us really is, given that we know that and we know that these chemicals exist in these dumps, what are we doing today to manage and monitor those sites?
Now, the incidence of cancer, how do we know definitively that these are linked to the presence of PCBs?
Yeah, well, there's two things there. Generally, we know that these chemicals are linked to cancers and to various other nasties as well, and different illnesses, developmental issues in children, in the womb, fertility issues. It's well documented that what these are associated with, and that's why they're banned globally. The problem is it's very difficult to prove causation of any illnesses today. So it's kind of like smoking, if you can imagine that, in that you're not guaranteed to become ill if you're exposed to these chemicals, but the higher the levels within you or the higher your exposure, the more likely you are to face a risk of that. But it's very difficult for us to know if a person appears with a cancer, it's going to be pretty tricky for us to know that that is definitely caused by the chemicals. But one of the things we do in this series is taking blood tests. I think it's the first time anybody's taken tests of blood within the community to see whether people had high levels of these chemicals in their blood.
And the result?
Well, it's really interesting, and the results do suggest that there might be a pathway from these chemicals that are leaching out of these dumps into people's bloods, because the same essentially pattern of PCBs is present within people in different regions of the country, but what they have in common is that they live near bloods. They live near these dumps. So it does suggest that there might be a pathway from the dumps into people's blood. And in two people, we found that they did have above average levels in their blood, and in both cases they have had rare cancers either within their family or in themselves.
Now, the actor Michael Sheen got involved in the production of the two-part television documentary. Your series Buried, of course, is more detailed, I suppose, more comprehensive. How did Michael get involved?
It's a really crazy story, actually. So, as I said, we got this tip-off about this story from a friend of Douglas Gowan. Now, Michael Sheen, unbeknownst to us, had separately been looking into the story, and he got there a bit earlier than us. So he went to meet Douglas Gowan before he died and actually interviewed him for 2 days. He kind of stumbled across this story through browsing Wikipedia and he saw a footnote about Douglas Gowan at a time when he wasn't well reported really what he'd done. And Michael immediately realized that this was a really interesting story and went to meet Douglas Gowan.
What he told me made my blood run cold.
They had dumped huge amounts of industrial chemicals all around Wales. Some of the worst contaminants known to man.
Douglas Gowan's story involved massive transnational companies.
There was no regulation at the time. They could dump it wherever they wanted to.
Potential cover-ups.
It's going to affect our water supply, the environment. The food chain's at total risk. We think it causes cancers, and certain species are going to be wiped out.
And it was so shocking that I thought, it can't be true.
What has definitely happened in animal population is now happening in the human population.
But after he'd done the interview, he didn't really know what to do with it. He tried to get a couple of journalists involved, didn't really go anywhere. He put the tape in a drawer and carried on with his other projects. And years later, we picked up on it and went to meet Michael. And just the journey began there, really. We've been investigating it ever since, first for the podcast and now for the TV series and a book.
And of course, Douglas Gowan was interviewed by Michael Sheehan only weeks before he died. So it was a last chance saloon to look at someone who was an early whistleblower about this.
Yeah, and really powerful for us to see that, because it's a very weird experience when you inherit somebody's documents and diaries, and there were some quite personal things mixed in amongst this. So we've spent years kind of piecing together this man's life, interrogating some of the things that he said, realizing that on the science of the risks of these chemicals, he was absolutely solid, but never really knowing what he was like. So to join up with Michael and see this videotape of Douglas and hearing him in his own words has been amazing for us. And I think in the documentary, it really adds something powerful as well to hear this sort of call from the past warning us. He says, this stuff is buried, but it's going to come back. It's going to affect our children, our children's children.
And of course, this is not a historical problem. The burials and the leaching may be historical, but the victims of this kind of toxin poisoning are still there. And this is a clip of Michael talking to Michael Phillips, who is suffering from a cancer.
I started getting lumps on my shoulder. I caught cancer. And while he was operating my surgeon, he said, this is strange. He said, I've never seen this type of cancer before. And he'd had a distinguished career of, 40 years.
Do you know of anyone else who had sort of health consequences?
Yeah. I lost a very close friend who used to be there all the time, more there than me. He died of breast cancer. I've had another friend who's passed away with brain cancer. I've got another friend who's now got brain cancer and is trying to get over brain cancer. I've got another friend who's had all his lymph glands taken out because they were cancerous.
So and these are all friends
who played
in that area.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend and he said, I'm going to see your surgeon next week. He said, I got a lump on my back. My surgeon said, for me to catch what I had was like winning the lottery. For your friend who lives down the road to get exactly the same, he said, it's like winning the lottery every day for 6 months. It's not a coincidence.
Now, Lucy, what is to be done? I mean, has there been a furore on foot of your revelations in the podcast?
Yeah, because this is still within living memory. You know, this was the 60s, the early 70s. Some people remember these barrels being dumped on their land, or they've bought land and been told that other people remember dumping there. So there has been a big reaction from people worried about this. But it is a difficult question about what should be done. We travel to quite a few sites. We did our own chemical testing. 13 out of 14 of the sites that we tested came back with above average levels of these PCB chemicals. And we're not testing the dump sites themselves. We're testing the public land around those sites where you or I might walk our dogs or take our children to play. There has been a big reaction. I think one of the big problems that we have here is that it's going to be very expensive to clean up these sites. We know of one case in North Wales where the council acknowledges that for its financial reasons, the reasons why they haven't cleared up the land. So we're sort of wondering whether actually we've been careful not to point the finger too much at the local authorities, who by and large have the responsibility for cleaning up these sites, because they just don't have the money to do that. What we're asking for is for to make sure there's enough monitoring and testing of the sites, and that if they are determined to be contaminated and they do need to be cleaned up, that there is some money put in place to deal with that.
And finally, those who were, if you like, the perpetrators of all of this, I presume, given how long ago it is, companies will have either folded or changed hands. So it might be very difficult to get to the original perpetrators of the dumping.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that Michael Sheen has really called for is for the polluters to be pursued for the money to clean up. We do have that principle in the UK, the polluter pays principle, which means that whoever dumps something there ought to be responsible for paying to clean it up. But as you say, it is very difficult because the corporation that created most of these PCBs, Monsanto, is a US corporation which has been wound up. It's been spun off into various different companies. And I think it will be quite difficult to pursue them for any funds. But we will see. We'll see what happens and what comes out of all this.
Lucy Taylor, investigative environmental journalist, presenter of the Buried podcast on BBC and executive producer of the new documentary Buried with Michael Sheen. Lucy, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.